5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, and this is the time where we get to the lunch rush. Our top stories trending nationally throughout the world of sports, and we'll start busting into it right now. Cleveland Browns defensive end Myles Garrett discharged from hospital after treatment following one car crash. That's good news for him. He was released from the hospital after being treated for injuries he sustained in a one-car crash on Monday afternoon. ESPN confirmed. So, I mean, that was scary right when that hit. And again, I was taken back to with what Michael Malone was telling us. You know, he got in a hit and run. He got in a car accident too, man. Garrett crashed his 2021 Porsche after practice near Wadsworth, Ohio, at around 3 p.m. According to the Ohio State Highway Patrol, the vehicle went off the side of the road and flipped over before coming to a rest. A female passenger who was in the vehicle was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving gave up four-year, $100 million-plus extension to be unvaccinated. Yeah, he was talking to the media day yesterday when he turned down the four-year extension prior to the 2021-22 season because of his decision to not get vaccinated against COVID-19. He said, I gave up 4 years, 100 and something million, decided to be unvaccinated, and that was the decision. Get this contract, get vaccinated, or be unvaccinated, and there's a level of uncertainty of your future, whether you're going to be in this league, whether you're going to be on this team. So I had to deal with that real-life circumstance of losing my job for this decision. He was, of course, not vaccinated against COVID-19 and was forced to miss home games, which, again, was so bizarre because he can go out on the road and go mingle with that team and be unvaccinated there, but then he comes back home and it's a no-no. It's like you're okay. All right. That makes zero sense. Independent panel came out with this Memphis Tigers basketball, or the independent panel said Memphis Tigers basketball coach Penny Hardaway, Anthony Hardaway, did not violate NCAA rules in providing benefits to prospective student athletes. An independent accountability resolution process hearing, it's a mouthful, panel concluded that Memphis Tigers basketball coach Penny Hardaway didn't violate NCAA rules when he provided benefits to three prospective student athletes because of his long-standing philanthropy in Memphis. I can never say it. Philanthropy. Yeah, there we go. Philanthropy. There we go in Memphis, according to a decision released on Tuesday. So the IARP panel ruled that Memphis failed to monitor the education and activities of an athletics booster, provided impermissible extra benefits, conducted impermissible recruiting activities with prospective student athletes, and failed to cooperate with the investigative process by delaying the production of requested documents. The Tigers were placed on 3 years probation through September 26, 2025, and fined $5,000 plus 0.25% of their men's basketball budget. Interesting. Memphis cannot appeal the ruling under IARP rules. And there it is. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. If you guys want to get rolling on Top Text Tuesday, First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. If they were to play this year, I know they're not, who would win, CSU or CU? 66% now staying the Buff, so it's changed a little bit, with 33% saying the Rams. I mean, I just go again to that offensive line. You know, that offensive line, it's just like Clay Millen has no time. I don't know what's up with his injury just yet. We are still waiting to get confirmation there. Obviously, I wasn't in yesterday, so we didn't have the Clay Millen show. But from what I'm told from secretive sources, maybe a go for Nevada. So the fact that it's maybe a go is meaning, obviously, it's not a season-ending injury for Clay. And I think it's important, win or lose, certainly doing a lot of losing for Colorado State, it's important for Clay to continue to play this thing out this season. This is going to be the rough year that hopefully the narrative in 2 years is, remember that year, remember that freshman year of his? It was so rough. He was getting beat up on a daily basis, and the Rams were losing big game after big game. But somehow they used that, they went forward, and Now they're a good team. Now they're a bowl team. Now they're competing for Mountain West championships. I didn't expect it to be this bad. I really didn't. Like I said, they've been outscored 164 to 43 so far through four games. I did not see that coming. I'm not saying that the idea of them being 0-4 was unfathomable, but the way they've lost is what I'm really shocked by. You know, Middle Tennessee beats them, whatever. It's a bummer, and then you see Middle Tennessee beat Miami. But Sac State, the way they just manhandled CSU. I mean, it just got bad, and then Clay was getting beat up, finally gets taken out of the game. I just didn't see it coming. Not like this. And now you look at the rest of the schedule, and there's winnable games there. And again, I use that term fairly loosely, but unlike the Buffs, I mean, what do we see? Arizona State? That's the one game right now that seems somewhat winnable for CU, if that. I mean, Arizona State's 1-3. I'm just looking at the rest of the schedule. Utah, Washington, USC, Oregon. Oregon State's in there. I mean, Arizona, Cal, Arizona State. And Arizona's 2-2. Cal's not bad. What are they, 3-1? They're going to probably lose every game. I don't see it happening. I can see the Rams. I could see the Rams still pull one or two out in this next four-game stretch.
Do you see the Buffaloes making a coaching change at this point or after the season?
Well, whatever. And I don't have it in front of me, Angel, but I'm sure there's some kind of they save money if they wait until like a date in January. Isn't that usually how it goes before they fire him? So my philosophy on this, and I've kind of grown. I felt more confident about this philosophy through the years. I don't really like firing a coach, regardless of how bad it gets on the field in the middle of the season. Because, you know, you're still paying him. You're elevating someone on his staff, someone that he hired to be the head coach. And again, they say, well, it's to get the leg up and start looking for your next head coach. I mean, what's to say, Angel, they can't do that now? Is there rules like if you have an active head coach, you're not supposed to be putting feelers out?
I think it's weird.
Is there a rule to that? I mean, if there is, they're breaking it. Guarantee it. You don't think that teams are, if they think they're going to fire their head coach, you know, I know Joe Parker says that he and Jay Norvell never talked, but there's part of me that's like, was that a thought process halfway through the season of, oh, Jay Norvell's not happy in Nevada. I wonder if he would make sense if we move on from Adazio. What's to say they don't? Can you shoot each other a text? I don't know. Can you let it be known somehow, kind of like the transfer portal stuff? Hey, if there's any way to let Jay Norvell know, wink, wink, we might have a job opening next season, wink, wink. And then suddenly someone goes, dude, coach, I heard about potential. I don't know if Steve Adazio is going to be there long. Those rumors are real, dude. They get out there.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's all Nebraska's doing right now is if there is a rule, they're just doing rumors.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, oh, this assistant might go or this coordinator might go there. So it's weird. I just looked up the buyout details for Carl Durrell.
Yeah.
If CU fires him on December 31st exactly, they will owe him $7.8 million. If you do it after the new year, it starts at $7.8 and will go down according how much longer he's still there.
So it's at what? 7.1?
7.8 is the start.
And then if you wait, if you do it after the new year, it's
it would
just
start at 7.8, but it would go down by each day.
But that's the thing, you know, because you can't wait too long. You know, you got to get that process really rolling. There must be some kind of, and I'm sure there is, there must be some kind of byline. It's like, hey, but again, when you have an interim head coach, isn't that the same thing? So you can't be looking for your new head coach while you have an interim coach there. Same kind of deal. I mean, if you're not supposed to be doing the interview process or what have you now while you have a head coach under contract, technically when the head coach gets fired and then the interim comes up and he's the head coach, isn't that the same thing? Or is it because it's interim?
I wonder if it's that interim title and
must
that's
be.
Why they give it to him. It's because, hey, you're going to put you in this position, but meanwhile, we're out looking for your replacement.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. B-Rad coming in with some fire here on Top Text Tuesday. He has two of these bad boys. If he wins, he gets the $50 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. If somebody else wins today, they get a $15 gift certificate. B-Rad said, it's been 4,334 days since Josh McDaniels has won a game as a head coach. I'm just going to assume that's correct. I have not seen it. I know he didn't win a lot that final year for the Broncos. I think they won four that year or something like that. And Eric Studisville took over. Maybe they even won one of those games with him. Is Josh McDaniels going to break that streak on Sunday? It's Broncos Raiders week.
It's certainly setting up for it. They're playing desperate.
It's must win for the. I think it's must win for the Raiders. You go down 0-4. I still think this division's tough. I know the Chargers lost to Jacksonville, and that's freaking everybody out. Although I think I said I don't think Jacksonville's going to be as bad this year as you know. In fact, in our division winner pick'em poll, I picked the Jags to win their division. I did. It's on there. Clark has the record of it. So I'm not freaking out about the AFC West just yet. So that means I think that they're going to all get better and that you can't fall too far behind. If the Raiders go 0-4, they're gonna fall. That'd be two AFC West losses already. So they would be very, very far behind. So it's kind of setting up as must win for the Las Vegas Raiders. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I think B-Rad, Dixon, Noob's kind of there. Come in with some fire today. Bring some takes on our First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's Top Text Tuesday presented by Cables Pub and Grill. Best text of the day gets a $15 gift certificate to Cables. Unless your name's B-Rad, he has won two of these. He could be going for number 50, $50 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. It's up to one of you guys to make sure that doesn't happen. 17 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I want to shout out to On the Rocks Liquor bringing us our game beer of the week. This one's from Berthoud Brewing. Berthoud Low Rider Light. You can pick up selections from Berthoud Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor. They've got their drive-thru as well, so you can stop inside, pop by that bad boy. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every day. And this Friday, from 4 to 7 at On the Rocks, the good folks from Rule 105, our friends at Rule 105, will be on hand with assorted spirits to try at On the Rocks Liquor. All right, hey, I know these guys, great beer. You got to go try it out. Tell them we sent you over there. Then on Saturdays from 4 to 7, you can try their free tastings as reps from Beat Box Punch will be here to try their hefty 11% alcohol punches. Holy cow, yeah. Try those bad boys out. Get you set for that make-believe CU-CSU game. You drink a few of those, you might just think that the game you're watching is CU-CSU. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jenny Kavnar from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
Want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. They are wonderful at what they do. Nobody better. You get that HVAC system up to date. You know, now, you know, sooner or later, we're going to be turning the calendar a bit, and it's going to get cooler and cooler and cold suddenly and then really cold. You know, make sure the heater's good. You know, and again, get your air conditioner looked at now, too, because you've been running that thing. It was a hot summer, dude. It was hot. And you've probably been running that thing more than you would have liked. Have Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check that out and make sure everything's good to go. 970-567-0798. That's 970-567-0798. And please tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Quickly, is this a typo? I mean, obviously I start... To be Mr. Thursday Night Angel, you have to put in countless hours of work. I mean, countless. I'm 2-1. It's a winning record last time I checked. I mean, you just film study and stats and injury reports and insiders talk, all of it. So clearly, I've started my work now. I start my work as soon as Thursday night is over, the game is over, and I've won, of course. I start preparing for the next Thursday. And who's playing? Who's playing? Oh, yeah, that's right. Dolphins, Dolphins, Bengals on Thursday night.
3-0 Miami Dolphins. 3-0
your Dolphins are 4-point dogs against the Bengals.
Love it.
What does that mean?
It means the Dolphins played in 100 degree weather on Sunday, and a short week, and a traveling up to Cincinnati. Bengals wearing their all-white uniforms with the white helmets.
What's the weather supposed to be like there?
68. Calm Cincinnati evening, I guess.
68 degrees.
Perfect.
Boy, that's interesting.
Joe Burrow versus Tua, the old college rivalry is back.
Is this the? Are you worried that this is the week the Bengals get it right? I mean, they expectate. They're certainly underachieving right now. I mean, they do not look good. The Bengals don't.
Not 2 weeks ago. Last week, they looked better.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Are you going to be mad at me if I do pick the Bengals? What's that going
to
do?
It's
for
my job to do whatever you tell me to do to produce whatever Thursday night special you want. But just know I've been working on the Dolphins one for a long time.
I just kind of want to hear the Dolphins stuff. I may just pick because of that. Broncos get the dub against the Niners. How are you feeling about that? Is a dub or rub-a-dub? Or are we like, are you still, do you feel about the same you did after the Houston game? I mean, not as atrocious as far as the decision-making and play calling, but still an offense other than a touchdown late, didn't see much.
Well, yes, a win is a win, no matter how many points it is. Miami only beat Buffalo by 2, so a win is a win. But my impression of the Broncos was I was optimistic about the offense looking better. I didn't expect them to have, what, 4 3-and-outs to start? That was ugly, just couldn't get it going. The defense played very, very well the entire game.
Lights out.
Gave up that one touchdown early and then kind of just settled in there. And just you're just kind of waiting for the offense to pick it up and get going. Lots of punts. I think I counted 17 total between the two teams.
Hey, it's why Corliss Waitman was a nominee for my whole show Player of the Week presented by Zvi Brewing. I mean, it was him. I did throw Randy Gregory in the mix. I threw Elijah Dotson in the mix. And Brad Roberts from Air Force. It was Elijah Dotson. I used the fans to help me out there. That was an obvious one. Defensively, save for the first half against Seattle, dude, you have to be loving what you're seeing. And all of this without Justin Simmons.
And I mentioned it yesterday. You held, what, Kittle under 100 yards. You know, Debo Samuel under 100 yards. That's their two biggest weapons.
Well, and you know, Jeff Wilson, who's been pretty good, he had 75 yards in this game, but he had a 37-yard run there in the first quarter, which set up, isn't that the one that set up that first touchdown? Outside of that, and I don't like to say, well, that was a bad play. I think Draymond Jones missed his assignment. I think Kareem Jackson took a weird angle, and away we go. We get a long run. Outside of that run, nobody was lighting up the Broncos. And that, I'll tell you right now, Josie Jewell was a difference maker. He was a difference maker in this game. I think that if he can stay healthy, and that's been the big question. Because I remember 2 years ago, Von Miller was just high on this guy. He's like, dude, Josie Jewell, watch out for this guy. And then he gets hurt, and you know, he's just kind of limping along. I think a fully healthy Josie Jewell is a difference maker. And I can't wait to see what he can do. I mean, tell you what, Angel, you go into Vegas and beat the Raiders, the narrative is completely flipped. It doesn't matter how you win, either. You're 2-1. You were supposed to beat Seattle. I think most people thought you were supposed to lose to San Francisco. So we flipped that. You're back on pace. I had the Broncos in my original pick being 2-1 before they went to Vegas. We just didn't get there the way I thought we would. This is where we are. So right now, so far, so good.
Yeah, a win can change the entire perspective of your season. We saw that, you know, 2 weeks ago with UNC. Now look at them. But on the Broncos, I also wanted to see how the crowd was going to react. And you did hear early in that first half a bit of the boo birds coming down. I think I heard them count down the play clock once.
Yeah, I didn't even catch it.
I was paying attention to the play clock just to see when's Russ getting to play in? When's the huddle breaking? When are they getting set? About 10 seconds from when they were set, ready to go, given time to make adjustments. And that's critical. And yeah. You saw in that last, you know, fourth quarter, the communication, and when you can get Russ going and letting him use his legs, you get points and you get success.
And that's what, like, if I'm looking at it from the positive standpoint, Russell Wilson, I think, looked great in that final possession. He saved it several times. Should have been sacked again by Bosa. Keeps it alive. And I think they even mentioned it. Tirico and Collinsworth even mentioned it. Hey, I know that's not a positive play there, but it wasn't a negative. That was a huge game saver at that moment. I thought Russell Wilson saved this game all night, to be honest with you. He dives on a fumble that Melvin Gordon loses in, you know, inside their own five. It's, the game's over if they lose that. Again,
he... Little shovel pass on that short down.
And he had two of those that continued drives. He was improvising. It wasn't sexy, and it wasn't like he did at Seattle, but that's a start. Now, why haven't we seen that through the first 2 weeks of the season? Is that because you have a Russell Wilson that's kind of like, I want to let this offense really play out. I want to snap the ball. I want guys to finish their routes. I want offensive linemen to finish their blocking assignments. And I want we want to see the play really get to, you know, a resolution before I decide to roll right or left and break up the play and offset the play. Is that something that I wonder that if Hackett and Wilson really talked about that? It's like, hey, your opportunities to cook are coming, but I'm just telling you, and this would be silly if this is the case, but I'm just telling you, let's let the play develop first before you start taking off. And if that's what Hackett was doing, or if that's what anybody was doing with Russ, they were wrong. Or if it was Russ just doing that mentally with you know, in his own brain thinking, I want to let this thing settle out. I was watching the Monday night game last night with Daniel Jones. I mean, he could have ran for a lot more yards, but what was he doing? He was looking downfield first. His eyes weren't in the green in front of him. They were looking at receivers trying to break off of their routes and get open. And that's good and bad, right? Sometimes a quarterback gets too caught up in trying to be a quarterback. Sometimes you just got to be the most electrifying man in football and take off like Lamar Jackson does. I mean, that guy, he's going to look downfield. If it ain't open, see you later.
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
Love me some Lamar. Five more touchdowns for him over the weekend. Four passing and one rushing. So
NFL leader in a lot of categories.
Dude,
right now.
His number just keeps going up. Balti. His number's just going up. So get that deal done. You better get it done or he's going to be gone. Somebody's going to pay him a lot of money, assuming he can stay healthy. But he's good. He's fun. The Bronx, either way, get the dub, 11-10. Jimmy Garoppolo was waffle. I mean, he just steps back and there's a safety. Who was the guy? Who was the guy that had the other run out of the end zone safety?
Dan Orlovsky.
And his was even more like that one.
He ran like 5 yards out of that. He ran on the line and then kept going.
He's just running like, da, da, da.
Jimmy kind of felt
easy.
Like,
he
like
just
even
didn't know
watching
where
the
was.
Game, you're like, oh, no, no, no. Yeah. Oh, come on, Jimmy. Don't do that.
Well, no, I was happy that happened. But then again, I wasn't because Bradley Chubb gets an interception.
That was a three-step drop, Jimmy, not five.
Yeah, not five, especially there. I still want to see Javonte Williams get the ball more. I sound like a broken record, but until I see it, I mean, he had 60 yards on 15 carries.
Oh, those two drives where they just kept giving it to him, and he just kept six yards.
We're going away from him to start the second half. Melvin Gordon's like the starter in the second half, and I don't understand it. I want Javonte to be the starter, but if anything, you do the opposite of that. You go Gordon to start, and when defenses start wearing down, you wear them down with Javonte Williams. Dixon says, Broncos averaging a solid 14 points a game. They'll be fine. Yeah, how's that loss to the Colts taste there, Dixon? That was, yikes. Nobody expected that one. 34 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 39 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It is Top Text Tuesday, by the way. If you want to get involved, you got a chance to bring your best take. And if we think it's the best take of the day, we're going to give you a $15 gift certificate to Cables, Pub, and Grill. And B-Rad is the one guy, you know, the rules of Top Text Tuesday, if you win three, you get the $50 gift certificate. You win three, and then we reset, start all over. So it's the first texter to win three of these Top Text Tuesdays that gets the larger prize, and in this case, a $50 gift certificate to Cables Pub and Grill. Noob's in the mix here. B-Rad's in the mix. Dixon's in the mix. I know he probably needs it after he's pretty sad about Chiefs losing to the Colts, man.
How does that happen?
How does that happen?
I didn't even watch that game. I just saw the final score.
I did.
I watched. What just happened?
The Chiefs didn't look great, and their special teams were bad. They had a blocked kick, didn't they, I think? And then a fake kick? I don't know. Something like that. I saw this mainly the second half, but I know they tried to fake one, didn't get it. And just a fumble on a punt return early, which set things up for the Colts, kind of turned that game upside down early. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a Chiefs fan, you're wondering how the hell that just happened, losing to the Colts like that. And listen, when you look at the AFC West, it's not, I mean, listen, you got Chiefs and Denver tied right now at 2-1, Chargers 1-2, and then, of course, the Raiders 0-3. This is about how a lot of people, some people thought this was going to go down, that the Chiefs would be leading it, and then it would be either be the Broncos or the Chargers at this point. And the Chargers, I mean, Herbert didn't quite look right after, you know, we talked about his rib injury. Should he have even been in the game to end that? And of course, backdoor me in that Thursday night special. Should have pulled him in that game, so I could have I'd be 3-0 right now. But the doctors tried to screw me over, and the conspiracy against Mr. Thursday night continues. I'm still 2-1. You know, it is, despite all that stuff, I mean, so I'm doing fine. Is the AFC West as good as we thought, or is it just too soon to tell?
I think it's too soon to tell. We kind of thought, you know, we obviously all thought the Raiders were going to be way more impressive than they are.
It didn't see 0-3 coming.
Granted, they've been in every game. They've lost every game by one possession, so they're in their games. They're just not finishing them. Didn't expect that. The Broncos, bumpy start. Maybe getting back on the road. The Chiefs started great, looked bad on Sunday, and then the Chargers are just battling injuries after injury. Their tackle, Rashawn Slater, is he's going to be out for an extended period of time. Still don't really know about Herbert. Is he still feeling, you know, pain when he's rotating on his throws? You know, breaking ribs is one thing. Rib cartilage, that's something different. That's just, that affects the way you breathe, the way you move, like, it's going to be very interesting to see how the Chargers kind of bounce back.
Yeah.
And then the Broncos.
Yeah.
Slow start. Keep going.
And Kansas City goes to Tampa Bay
possibly to Miami with the hurricane.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I know Tampa Bay's practicing in Miami this week.
Yeah, there's a good chance a lot of those games, college, NFL, are going to move around. Ooh, that's scary. Either way, I mean, again, I know being out of your element will be different, but Tampa Bay is going to be looking to bounce back after. I mean, they made it interesting. They score, and then they, at the end, go for two, don't get it. But they were right there. Green Bay, I felt like, should have been up 21-0. A fumble right before the half on the one. You know, like, they could have went in 21-21. Or maybe it was 21-3. I don't know. Whatever the score was, Packers would have went up big. Brady still just doesn't quite. Now, I know three of his receivers were out in that game. Your weapons, you keep losing more and more weapons. But Brady still just doesn't look. He just doesn't look great.
He looks frustrated.
Yeah, he looks
frustrated. And I'm waiting until the moment he kind of just snaps. We've seen it in the last couple of games. He's getting angry. He broke, two Microsoft tablets last week?
Yeah, he keeps breaking those tablets.
He's getting frustrated with his teammates, his coaches.
Well, he had a run. Did you see that? Like a 15, 20-yard run. Gets called back, but he, falls awkwardly, and it jacked up his knee brace, and he looked like...
Well, he's wearing, 4-inch shoes.
Oh, my gosh, and the knee braces are huge, dude. And he looked frustrated, What the hell? I finally take off and run, and I get a call. We get a penalty here, and my knee brace is all jacked up at this point. And so I'm going to go break another tablet. You break something of mine, I'm going to go break something of, well, I guess it's mine, kind of, that I'm using. But this is a weird time to go play Tampa Bay. And again, location aside, if you were just looking at the Buccaneers looking to bounce back, this is an interesting game. And that defense is still very good. I mean, it's not like Green Bay. I mean, at first they looked solid, but they 14-12. You know, they held Green Bay to 14 points. So this defense is still very good. They haven't given up more than, that's the most they've given up. You know, 10 against the Saints and 3 against the Cowboys. So that defense is legit. I just wonder where Tom Brady is right now, physically, with everything. The AFC West, I mean, I'm still not like thinking this isn't the best division in football. I think that it's close. I mean, there's just a lot of crazy things that happened over the weekend that have had some of these divisions popping up. I mean, maybe it's your division. Maybe it's AFC East. I don't know. Bills.
Outside of two teams, I don't think so.
And then the Patriots now with the Mac Jones thing. I don't know where they are. The Jets are maybe better than we thought. I don't know.
Like the AFC North with, you know, you got Baltimore. Cleveland is kind of just hanging around.
Cleveland's 2-1 right now.
Cincy trying to get bounced back.
Cincy should be better, yeah.
Pittsburgh is down. After losing T.J. Watt, they've lost two straight now. That's looking worse and worse. And then the AFC South is just a garbage fire.
Yeah.
Other than the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
Because who saw that?
2-1 right now. 2-1. NFC West, the Niners situation's much different now, I think, because Jimmy G's not good. And
it's a very meh division right
now. Yes, Seattle, I don't believe they'll be there. And Arizona's 1-2. NFC South, no. I don't believe in any of those teams other than Tampa Bay. I mean, Panthers, Saints, Falcons, no. North, Vikings are okay.
No one's really dominant in that division either.
Packers will be fine. They did, you know, just beat the Bucks. Chicago's 2-1. Detroit's better than we thought. They're 1-2. I don't know. East, Philly, Dallas wins last night. New York, I think, is all right. Maybe the NFC East. I don't know about Washington.
But nobody knows about Washington.
Watching Daniel Jones last night, I don't watch a lot of Giants football, and he's impressive. He's impressive. He's getting better. The Giants might be okay. They got Sterling Shepard's out for...
He tore his ACL.
Oh, gosh. I didn't see that. That sucks.
Just like jogging up the field.
Yeah, it was at the end of the game, too. Yeah. Oh, that hurts, man. I hate that. I don't want to see anybody do that. Especially in a meaningless play. I mean, when he's not doing anything. But Daniel Jones, though, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Daniel Jones,
something
kind of,
there.
He feels like that Madden player. You didn't really care about making and putting too much effort into it, so you just hit the button and it randomizes everything. So it's Daniel Jones,
yes.
Quarterback, Duke.
Blah. But then
he's,
he turns,
you know,
out...
6'3", doesn't really have an interesting hairstyle, doesn't really look interesting.
Just a regular looking
dude. Playing quarterback for the Giants.
But he can move, man. I mean,
he definitely can move.
He had 80 yards last night.
His most famous play is that long run where he tripped.
Yeah.
But he still ran pretty fast.
He was running all over the place last night. I mean, he looked good. That division might be interesting. If Cooper Rushmore or whatever, like...
He's 2-0 as a starter.
He's 2-0! They didn't look very good in the first half, but somehow... Scored 10 in the fourth, and they found a way. So Cooper Rush, 215 yards and a touchdown last night. Tony Pollard taking over Ezekiel Elliott's job, continuing to do that. He had 105. Elliott had 73. That's a good punch right there, though. You know, they're battling my whole theory that Gordon and Williams are the best 1-2 punch. Like, that's a good 1-2 punch. 12:48 the time. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It is Top Text Tuesday. If you want to get at us, the winner gets a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. And we'll shoot you a text if you're the winner. Hopefully you're tuning in at the end, and you'll find out at the end of the show in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll take a short break. Again, we're live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy. I just looked at our office pick'em poll here. Angel, I mean, it makes sense. We're the sports guys. We're both tied. We are tied at the top of this thing. We're winning. We're winning over everybody else here. Fantastic.
It's great to see. I know Tanner's upset with himself because he didn't make his picks for week one.
Yeah.
So he is going to be constantly battling back up.
Yep.
But it's nice to be at the top of the leaderboard.
Well, I mean, it's part of the game, right? If you don't show up, you get disqualified.
You got to make your picks.
You got to get up early.
You got
to go to work, man. You got to get up and do your work. This isn't, you know, just, kind of participation. If you just at least participate, you're going to get something right. Tanner just texted us because I forgot a week. That's a major thing, bro. Imagine if we said, hey, Broncos play the Raiders on Sunday. Russell just forgot to show up. That's worse than losing the game. So, like, Tanner, I know you're, like, using that as an excuse, but that makes it look worse. You just didn't make your picks. You didn't even pick. You didn't show up for the football game.
I also want to shout out Micah Kilpatrick. Him and I were the only people to pick the Dolphins this week against the Bills.
Good job. You were something in common with Micah. I don't know if that's
it. We're both producers.
Yeah, I feel great. I'm going to keep rolling with that. No worries there.
You make your picks on Wednesday or Thursday?
I think I make them on Wednesday.
Yeah, I do Thursday. Anything could happen.
I might make them now.
Thursday.
I might make them now on the air. Let everybody in on what's happening here. This magic that's going to happen. I had a bad first week, but this week I won. You know, that's the thing with me. You just get bad. I went 5-1 with my local picks. As I start to understand the teams and absorb all the information that I'm intaking every single day, I just start knowing everything. I mean, that's how it goes. I start learning and going, oh, okay, this is how it is. And I watch differently than our regular hooligans. You let that information seep into your brain. So I need a couple of weeks to get it going. But once I get there, look out. It's going to get crazy. Tanner says I'm now making them every Tuesday morning. That's his priority. Like,
still a week behind. You can make the picks the rest of the way.
He has 45 points, though. Is that right? No, 34. Excuse me, 34. Yeah, he's way the hell behind. He's got to make up a lot of ground. I might just go look at his picks and pick every game he picks, just so he can't beat me. Can you do that?
Keep you an arm's distance away.
I don't care if I win. You know that I don't care if I win. I just want to beat the Platte Valley quarterback, the state champ, the co-host of Good Morning NoCo, the cow tamer, Tanner Schwint. That's all I care about. So just tell me his picks, Angel, and I'll just go copy those. That's it. That's a victory for me. All right, final hour coming up next. It's The Hall Show powered by PDC Energy.